You're listening to Conversations with Kathy, podcast for women who are looking for a place filled with honest conversations, tangible takeaways, and new perspectives on life, love, and everything in between. And I'm your host, Tatiana Roach. Let's jump right in. Hi, all. Welcome back to Conversations with Kathy. Today, I'm talking to Emily. Emily is a holistic health coach, personal trainer, and the voice behind the Mind and Body podcast. But at age 12, Emily created an unhealthy relationship with food, which led to an eating disorder and a number of health-related issues. As we chatted, Emily shared her story of her road to recovery, the lessons learned along the way, as well as a number of amazing takeaways that we can immediately implement to start living the healthier lives we all want and deserve. Let's just jump into the conversation. So Emily, thank you so much for taking the opportunity to chat with me. I already love your energy because, you know, we're already laughing and talking about the weather and stuff like that, because of course I'm in Trinidad and you're in freezing Canada. And it looks so sunny over there, so I don't know how freezing you actually are.
I'm right, actually. It's maybe 19, 20 degrees, so it's nice and comfortable, actually. Okay. Loving it.
All right.
So, too cold for you, though.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I could probably spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes in that in the AC, and then I'd be like, okay, it needs to change because I'm freezing. But again, I'm so happy that you decided to talk to me. I mean, when we spoke, I told you that I wanted to talk to women about their relationships and key relationships. And I realized that you had a different type of relationship story that I found was really, really interesting. And it's about your relationship with food and your relationship with health and wellness. So I feel, you know, that is something that we all struggle with. It's something that we all have to deal with. So it would be great to have this conversation about your journey to your own self-discovery in this, I mean, on the pathway of health and wellness and diet. So what happened when you were 12?
Yeah, quite the journey. But I was 12 years old and, you know, kind of in the prime of my life at that point, just kind of, you know, in public school, not too many concerns. And I certainly wasn't thinking about my health physically or mentally at that point in time. But one day I was just awake, you know, at an ungodly hour, and I came across a video. And it was an exercise video. And I thought to myself, well, I've got a little energy to burn. Why not try this workout video? 6 minutes long, no big deal. Let's do this. So I tried it and I couldn't get through the entire video. And again, it was 6 minutes long. So I just felt this pit in my stomach and I just kind of collapsed. Like I lost this sense of myself and I felt defeated. Like, I'm 12 years old. I'm supposed to have energy. I'm supposed to feel good. I'm supposed to be able to be active. No problem. So that was kind of a turning point for me when I knew that something needed to change and I wanted to. And I started realizing all the things that I were doing or believing about myself, my health and food. And that kind of started the whole journey for me.
Now, at 12, you would probably have been involved in some sort of sport in school or anything like that. So what was different about this moment and this video or this not being able to do this that you feel caused you to stop and go, wow?
Yeah, well, I was always, you know, active, like playing with friends. I did maybe a couple sports, not too many. I wasn't necessarily the sporty type, but this workout video, it just felt like something I should be able to do because we have phys ed, of course, when we're younger. We're being active all the time. You got recess, you're running around. And I guess I hadn't realized after that how inactive I really was being. So I kind of put into perspective, well, aren't I active all the time? Shouldn't I be able to do this? And when I thought back on it, I realized I wasn't. I was avoiding those activities. I was hiding and I didn't know why. So that's kind of where I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into why I wasn't being active or what my beliefs around exercise really were.
So you're 12 years old, you try this video, you can't do it, you feel defeated. So you make a decision. You say, okay, I have to do something about this. And what do you decide to do then? What do you decide to change?
Yeah, so I decided to change kind of my whole belief system and the way that I took care of my body. So I started doing lots of research. I started doing those exercise videos that I found on YouTube, which were great because they were short in length. I could do them at home. So I was kind of learning as I was going. So I decided to commit to that. And I did it in small steps and kind of looked at my nutrition. And I just made those little baby steps that were going to help move me forward a little bit.
But what happened? Because everything didn't go well.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
You had this grand plan, you know, it was I'm going to study, I'm going to research, I'm going to exercise, I have this grand, I'm going to learn about nutrition. But I think maybe in the mind of a 12-year-old, you didn't necessarily really get it.
Oh,
so
for sure.
What ended up happening?
Yeah, so I thought that just by changing my food and, you know, becoming more active, that was going to make me healthy and that was going to make me happy. And that wasn't the case. So what happened is I formed an unhealthy relationship with food. I became food obsessive, or a word that they call orthorexic, when you become too over obsessed with healthy eating. And I didn't realize it, but I was allowing food to become the enemy. And it really affected me in so many different ways that I didn't realize. And what ended up happening from that is I actually was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome because I had restricted my body so much that it actually damaged some of my organs. And this caused me to develop irritable bowel syndrome, which was a real struggle, not only getting diagnosed, but how to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those food beliefs kind of took me into my college years, and I, you know, I wouldn't be able to attend social gatherings. I avoided certain foods. I avoided talking about it. And I thought that I was healthy. I was doing all the right things, but it turned out I wasn't. And this caused so many more health problems and a trifecta of different emotions inside of me that I was neglecting.
I remember you telling me a story of a teacher giving you a piece of fruit in school and how that made you feel. What happened?
Yeah, so this is at the point, again, probably at the height of that orthorexia, when I was really hungry. I hadn't brought enough food for lunch that day, and a teacher had offered me an apple. And I started to cry. And this is going to sound pretty wild to most of you, but I began to cry because I thought, well, I can't even eat that piece of fruit. It's past 12 o'clock. I wouldn't even allow myself to eat fruit past 12 o'clock because it was too much sugar. It was too much carbs, you know, that kind of mindset where I thought I was doing my body good, but really I had all these horrible beliefs. Like, an apple is great for you. You should eat it any time of the day. But in my mind, it was horrible and it was evil. And I shouldn't allow myself to have that piece of fruit. I should go hungry instead.
But if we were to dig deeper, why do you think you thought that? Did you think you needed to look a particular way, or you need to have a particular weight? Why were you thinking that particular way about food?
Yeah. Of course, it's definitely body image issues, like childhood beliefs about how I should look, how I should feel. And definitely, there's so much misinformation, and I think almost everyone can agree, about carbohydrates. And there's so much misinformation about nutrition, and carbs are good, carbs are bad, we should eat them, we should avoid them. And in my mindset, from the research that I did, which wasn't very credible information, was telling me that carbs aren't good and that I shouldn't be having fruit past 12 o'clock to lose weight. So I really dug way too deep in all of this misinformation, and I allowed that to be my principle for how I ate, and nothing was going to tell me differently. And that's kind of where everything started to go wrong and downward spiral from there.
Yeah. What were your parents saying at this point in time? Were they noticing your weight loss?
Yeah, they definitely had noticed a lot of changes in me, like in my emotions, my behaviors, and especially at dinner time, which is when I'd usually connect with them. When they're back from work, I'm back from school. And they definitely seen that I was eating in a strange way, or I was hiding how I was eating, or I would eat in my room or somewhere where they couldn't really see me. And don't get me wrong, I was still eating, but I was avoiding a lot of foods. And they started to have a conversation with me, like, what's going on? Like, you don't seem like yourself anymore. And, you know, this kind of took me back. And I'm like, I'm eating healthy. What are you talking about? I don't want to have that rice, or I don't want to have that fruit, or that vegetable has too much carbohydrates. I'm not going to eat that. And it didn't make sense to me at the time what they were seeing. And that kind of almost fueled the fire more, like, well, I'm going to show you what I'm doing and how this is going to be great. But I was so wrong.
Yeah. So now you are in college and you're now dealing with a health issue.
Yeah.
What's happening now? Now that you realize that, okay, something is not right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really started to take a look at what was I allowing myself to believe, and these beliefs that I was forming around food. So I obviously knew that I was allowing it to be the enemy, and I wasn't using it as fuel. I was just using it as a way to control something in my life. So I started to change kind of those beliefs and my mantra about health and wellness. And I decided to see a specialist, a food specialist, and they really helped me reconnect with food, to see it as a friend and not an enemy. And what happened then is I got a bunch of testing done, and I realized that I had PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome. So essentially, I had deprived myself so much in my younger years that my hormones were out of balance, severely out of balance. And this was causing me to not be able to sleep. My hair was beginning to fall out. My mood changes were different. I didn't have the female hormones as much. So I lacked a lot of estrogen and cortisol. So it was just me kind of all tying together. And that was kind of the pivotal moment where I was like, wow, I thought I was being healthy for the last 12 years when really I wasn't looking at it in the right way. And I needed to change my viewpoint on health before I ruined my body.
Yeah, I would assume that you may have felt a bit of frustration. How did you feel? Guilty? What were you feeling when you started to have these diagnoses? What were you thinking then?
I felt ashamed because I loved health and wellness, and I love to encourage others to be healthy, and to realize that I wasn't healthy myself. I thought I was eating right, I was exercising, I was trying to get good sleep, but really it starts internally. And to realize that I was doing all the things that I wouldn't recommend others to do. And I felt terrible. I felt like such a hypocrite, and that I needed to rewire my entire brain and my entire thinking around this if I wanted to do this forever. If I wanted to be healthy, I wanted to thrive, and I wanted others to follow in those footsteps. I didn't want others to end up with what I had. So it definitely changed my perspective and how I was going about things, for sure.
Yeah. So you started to do more focused, structured research in terms of what's the best thing for you as far as health and wellness. And I know that you have a message that says health and wellness doesn't look the same for everyone. So tell me more about that. When you say it doesn't look the same for everyone, because you're correct in saying we all go on the internet and we look and we see we have so many different diets. We have so many different ideas about what healthy looks like. And whether it's quick, whether it's slow, how do we sift through all of that information to find what is true and what is true for us as individuals?
Absolutely. So I think that's definitely a journey in and of itself, especially what I went through. It's taken me almost 13 years to find what really works well for my body. And that's not going to be the case for all people. It may take you, you know, a year, less than that, more than that. But really having the right reasons is the core value and what's going to help move you forward. So you really want to ask yourself some deeper rooted questions, like, why do I want this? What am I striving towards? And how's that going to make me feel? What's that going to look like? And envisioning that self. So really putting yourself into that future pacing of, what will I look like when I achieve this goal? What will I hear? What will I see? What thoughts might I be thinking about myself? So you really want to know that deeper why, because some people have a goal of maybe losing weight. Maybe it's 10, 50 pounds. And I asked them, well, what would having that weight loss do for you? I'm like, oh, well, I would just look better. And I say, well, what would be important about looking better? Mm-hmm. They say, oh, well, my partner might find me more attractive, or I would be have more energy to play with my kids. I say, well, that's a great goal. That's a much deeper rooted why than just wanting to lose weight. So you want more energy for your kids. You want to feel more attractive. That's a much more empowering goal than just wanting to lose weight. So I think finding what that why is for you, and then a bit of a trial and error experiment. So try a few different things. Maybe a vegan diet works for you. Maybe a vegetarian diet, keto. There's so many different things out there, and not one thing is going to work for everyone. So I think really experimenting with different things, log what you feel, listen to your body, and come in tune with how your body's reacting and how you feel mentally. If it's depriving you, if it's making you feel terrible, if you don't feel good on it, you're not excited about it, don't do it. You don't have to do it. And I think that's where people get stuck. They see their friend doing something and it's mm-hmm. working for them. They try it and they just feel miserable. So I think just finding something that's going to make you feel good and that you can sustain for life is so important. And there's good information out there. It's just about finding the right one. So don't look in those health magazines and all of that information. Try to find credible sources, credible articles, or talk to professionals. So a nutritionist or a health coach, your physician is really where you can get the best information.
So how do we stay on track? How do we stay committed? Because you know the cycle of starting, stopping. I'm on the diet today. I'm not on it. I tend to tell people it has to be a lifestyle change. You have to make that decision, like you said, finding your deeper why and then sticking to it. But for many of us, we start and then we all gung-ho. We're going to start exercising today. And then we do 2 days or we do a week and then we're done. And then we feel defeated and then we feel, oh, I don't want to start over. So we go and we eat burger or something like that. How do you stay on track?
That's the golden ticket question. Yeah. But what I would suggest is, again, really connect with that why. Write it down. Put it places that you're going to see it. So you want to really write it down and see it physically in a space that you're going to be in every day. So maybe you write it down on a note and you put it in your kitchen where you're going to see it and you're going to connect with it. And what else you can do is you can create anchors. And what an anchor is a physical thing in your environment that you can use that help remind you of that why. So maybe it's a picture of yourself smiling at your healthiest and your happiest. Put that photo somewhere you're going to see it every day. Maybe it's your desk at work. And when you see that photograph, you're going to be reminded, this is what I want. I want to be this healthy and this happy again. And every time you see that anchor, you're going to be reminded of why you're doing this. So maybe in those moments of weakness where you're like, I want to skip my workout today, you look at that photo and you remember that this is why you're doing this. And that's really going to help you. And having these anchors all throughout your lifestyle. So maybe you have something in your car, maybe it's a keychain or a quote, or you have a screensaver that helps remind you of your goal. Anything, place it everywhere. I have anchors absolutely everywhere I go so that I'm constantly reminded and inspired. So that's a really good step to get you started. And also starting small. People always think that they need to make a big goal or they need something drastic to happen in order for them to make change. But that's not true. You want to start with really small incremental goals. So instead of saying, I'm going to start exercising every day, change that to maybe I'll start exercising 1 or 2 times a week and see how my body feels. Aim for movement. Aim for something that's going to make you feel good, not what you feel that you have to do. So really finding what that is for yourself is the most important thing.
So if you have to, I know you've shared a lot of great nuggets. If you could speak directly to one woman, because I have people in my mind who I know that I've spoken to or who I know that I've known for many years who've been on and off the exercise, the health, on and off, start today and for years, you know, if that one person is listening and feeling, well, I have tried this, I can't do it, I'm just gonna hope for the best. What would you say to them directly?
That's a good question. So again, I would just ask them, What are they trying to achieve? What are they hoping to feel? And then they'll be able to kind of reconnect with, well, what am I trying to feel? Am I really just trying to lose weight, or do I just want to feel good? And those are two kind of separate things, but they are connected. So once I discover what they're really trying to feel or experience, we can help create that experience in a way that's fun and achievable for them. So maybe they feel pressured to go to the gym, and maybe exercise in their mind, it's going to the gym, doing something that they don't like, sweating, working out on a machine for an hour. And I would say to them, well, what do you enjoy? What type of movement makes you happy and fills you with joy? And maybe that's dancing. Maybe that's cleaning the house. Maybe that's hula hooping, riding a bike, hiking. Do that. You don't have to be in a gym. You don't have to force yourself to do something that you think you have to do or what society tells you to do. So find some sort of movement that works for you, that makes you happy, and do that. And as far as healthy eating, again, same thing. What brings you joy? What type of healthy eating lifestyle is going to work for you? Maybe that's eating out two or three times a week. Great. Just try to find some options that are going to work for you, and that's going to be sustainable. So I definitely work with them on that, on kind of recreating those beliefs around food, because that's usually where that all begins, is those beliefs that we have. And that can stem from childhood about feeling worthy or feeling that mm-hmm. we have to look a certain way. So really think to your mindset and why you want these things, what those beliefs are, and try to rewire them or reframe them into positive and life-giving ones, instead of saying, I have so much weight to lose, I'm not even going to start because it's too overwhelming. Instead of thinking that way, we can instead reframe that to, well, I'm on the path to beautiful transformation. I have a long way to go, but I've started carving that path, and I'm excited and I feel good because it is empowering to know that I've started and I can see how far I've come. So changing that outlook.
I think that is awesome advice. And I think you've covered so much, because it's about the diet, just like you said, and it's about the why. I think, like you said, the most important thing is, why do I want to do this? Why is this important? Is it because I want to see my children grow up, or I want to, you know, live long enough to see my grandkids? What is your why?
Exactly. And
I think that is awesome advice. Yeah. So again, thank you so very much for sharing your story. I know that somebody listening is going to get inspired and get inspiration from this.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome. And it's such a pleasure to be on the other side of being able to share that story and to hopefully inspire others to start their own journey. And whatever that looks like for you, that's beautiful. And just keep experimenting. Don't give up. Find that why, and know that it's unique to every single individual, and you can find health in your own way.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Kathy. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. It helps others just like you to find the show. And if you want to connect with me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Kathy Ann Roach, or in my Facebook group, Conversations with Kathy, where we connect live, discuss the episodes, and share tips for improving our lives. So until next time.